more.
I'm Sally, a single mom to two little boys. My boys have seen so much volatility in their young age before the doors. I'm really afraid that they will grow up lacking the confidence and the courage they will need to face their own challenges.
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, we are talking about courage. My name is Robert Beeson.
And I'm Kimberly Mitchell, and we are just so glad that you've joined us.
We are. This is going to be a great episode. As we're talking about courage this month, this week we have a special guest with us. Mm-hmm. If you Google search courage, I'm fairly confident that a picture of our guest might appear. His name is George Shin. He is a self-made, mega-successful businessman and visionary who, here's a spoiler alert, he owned his own NBA basketball team. But here's the cool thing. The beginning we'll all be able to relate to. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But George, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank
you. How are you today? You doing good?
Fantastic. Great.
I'm so honored that you made time to be here. It's going to be a great conversation.
Yes.
Before we get into it, I want to say this, like I say every single episode. If you're a single parent, you need to hear this probably more than anything else we say, and that is that you are not alone. There is hope.
So true. And Robert and I were both single parents for a long time. We know how difficult it can be. So sometimes we will tackle some stuff, tough stuff on here, only because we know that also through these difficult seasons, we can be transformed and that God is hope and we will always end in a place of hope just because that's who Jesus is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Both Kim and I are here to tell you, not only is there hope, but you can overcome all that you've lost. So welcome to the Solo Parent Podcast. So one of the things that plagues us single parents the most is thinking about the future welfare of our kids. It's one thing for us to struggle and deal with our own hard things. It's an entirely different and heart-wrenching thing to worry about our kids, what happens to them, and their future. Many of our kids have seen relationships go very wrong, even a certain amount of volatility. Many of them internalize what they saw and sometimes even blame themselves. And some of our kids have experienced an untimely death of one of their parents. In any of these cases, our kids have been subject to life events that are traumatic, which we all know can negatively impact their future. So how do we best set up our kids to have the courage and confidence to face their own relationships, their own opportunities, their own challenges, if we ourselves as parents may not feel confident ourselves? Well, today we are going to hear some stories about how confidence and courage was built into a little boy raised by a single mom in North Carolina who went on to have a culture-shifting impact in this world. We're going to reflect on some of the stories that brick by brick built courage into the child of a solo parent. Today, we're going to talk about how to build courage into our kids. But first, listen, if you are driving or you're doing something using your hands, because people listen to this usually with their
AirPods Robert. I know what that is now.
And if they're driving and we say something they want to write down, they can't just stop and write something down. Okay. Or if, in fact, if you are like working at a grist mill and you're making stone ground grits, you can't. It can happen. I'm just saying, don't worry. You don't need to stop making grits. In fact, please don't stop making grits.
Did you think, when did you think of this one? Like last night, this morning?
Your husband actually saw this one.
Yes, for sure. I'm sure he gave you a list.
Anyway, that's it. If you're making grits, you don't have to stop. You can keep doing what you're doing because everything will be in the show notes.
Yes, I love the show notes. And I think you're going to be so glued to this episode today.
I agree.
That you're going to want to just listen to it maybe again and again. And read the show notes.
Exactly. George, your story is remarkable. For the sake of our listeners, I'm just going to highlight some bullet points. And there's so much more to this. So honored that you're with us. George, your dad died when you were eight, right?
Correct.
And you were raised from then on by your single mom and grew up on welfare checks and hand-me-down clothes. You were bullied in school. You struggled in school and were the last person anyone would have thought would find success in life. In fact, I read that you finished dead last in your graduating class of high school. Sounds like I'm just heaping on insults.
Yeah, and I want you to know I had to struggle to get there, okay? Well,
it's the least likely situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you went on to work in a textile mill. Kind of like a grits mill, but textile. Yeah, yeah.
Don't encourage him.
A car wash and as a school janitor. Now, here's where it gets really fascinating. You later attended Evans Business School in North Carolina while working with real estate and in car dealerships. Upon graduating, You raised enough money to buy the school and even other small colleges and consolidate them all under an umbrella education system.
Correct.
That would be amazing if we stopped there. But you eventually sold those schools and bought an NBA basketball team, the Charlotte Hornets, with the proceeds that you made from the schools. Then you went on to start the George Shin Foundation, which offers the love of Christ and the hope of the gospel to all kinds of hurting people. The foundation has done everything from serving and feeding homeless, the elderly, starting a clinic in Haiti, funding foster care centers, among so many other things. It's remarkable what you've been able to do. Most recently, I saw it reported that you auctioned off one of your cars from your rare collection for $1 million. And then raised an additional $750,000 with Samaritan's Purse to provide aid to Ukrainians. All of this came from your story, which was against all odds. This fascinating story has its roots in the care of your single mom. That's why we really wanted to have you on the show. So thank you for being here today, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
My pleasure.
It is an incredible story. Like, no big deal.
Well, it was really amazing. I mean, it. My mom was my hero.
Yeah.
And she kept me stable during tough times.
Yeah.
And it, the best way I can describe it is that she just really loved on me. She just took care of me. And when I went through bad times or tough times and was being bullied or criticized because we were poor, that she let me know I could do anything on this planet I wanted to do if I put God first and if I worked hard. And that simple philosophy sort of guided me in my business career. And she also told me that if you do good, if you start succeeding and you give back, the Lord will reward you tenfold. And I got example after example of how that actually happened. I mean, quite frankly, Robert, I don't even, I look back and I say, gosh, I can't believe what has happened. Early on, I really thought that I was one smart dude because it seemed like everything I would touch would turn to gold. And then, but I kept remembering what Mom told me, you're going to have dark days. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. And but the strongest source of strength known to mankind is when a mere human being like you or I will have the courage to get on our knees and ask God for guidance.
Amen.
That's a good mama.
And so that was embedded in my brain. And as I started my career and started growing, and I really didn't have a plan. Honest to goodness, didn't have a plan. I just knew I wanted to do good primarily to let my mom know what I could do and what she did to help me get there. And so, and it seemed like along the way, like, you know, when I started working or started attending the business school, I didn't have a dream of owning and building the largest chain of business schools in the country. I just wanted to get an education. And God opened doors for me to eventually build this chain of business schools and have control and ownership of them. And, I mean, it's just one thing after another, and it just goes back to what I was taught, not in an educational system, but from my loving mom.
Mama. Would you say her greatest strength? Sorry, Robert. I just totally interrupted. See, I do that all the time.
That's good. You're Canadian. That's what they do.
I do whatever I want. Would you see your mama's great? Because I'm a mama, and sometimes we just, we want to make sure we're not messing up our kids. And I think I've cried a lot to Jesus over my single mama years. Would you say the greatest strength in the, that you got from your mom or what you saw in her was her love for Jesus and her love for you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because that really matters, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does.
Yeah.
And it pops up in every area of your life after that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, George, we had a chance to talk yesterday, and in all transparency, I had another plan for this podcast.
Yeah.
Because there's so much wisdom that I think we could pull from you on taking risk and what it means to be courageous. But I thought we were going to talk for 45 minutes. We ended up talking for like 2 hours because you just kept telling me these stories that were just beautiful. I want, and so I thought, you know what? I'd rather just focus on the stories.
Yeah.
Because there's so many principles that came out of it that you got from your mom. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the first one that you shared with me had to do with when you were at school and you were a janitor and two girls came in. Is that teed up enough? Can you take it from
there? Oh, yeah. No, that was after I had actually, I went to work in Cannon Mills. And with my great experience in high school with being such a great student, I'm just kidding, that I couldn't get into college. In the cotton mill, I was lifting bolts of cloth. I didn't have an office job or a good job. I was a common laborer. And I hurt my back, I got friends to say I was just making up excuses. But whatever, I did hurt my back, and I couldn't. I just got to the point I knew I had to find an office job. So as a result, I enrolled in a small business school in Concord, North Carolina. It was the Evans Business College. And at the time, I had I loved cars. And I had a 57 Corvette. And I just loved it. But I had to sell it to stay in school. I ran out of tuition. And so as a result, I went to the school director, the president, and told him I was going to have to quit. He said, why? And I said, well, I'm out of money. I've sold my car to pay my tuition. And my upcoming tuition, I can't pay it. I just don't have any money. So he so graciously gave me an opportunity. He said, if you are willing to each day, 5 days a week, stay after school, sweep the floors, empty the trash cans, clean the chalkboards, dust the erasers. I don't think they do that now. But anyway, and feed the vending machines, fill them up, and all that stuff. I'll give you tuition. And I said, I'll be happy to do that. So I started doing that, and then the next quarter was starting. I got my bill for books. And the books were almost as much as the tuition. And I went back. I said, God, I can't believe this. This knocked me a loop. I didn't even think of the books. And he said, well, I got another offer. If you don't mind coming in one day a week on Saturday, you can do it on Sunday. I said, no, I got to go to church with Mom on Saturday. But I can on Saturday. And he said, if you come in and mop the floors, and clean the toilets. I mean, you got to clean them good now. And I said, well, I'll do that. He said, I'll give you the books. I said, okay, I'll be happy to do it. And I remember the first time I'd heard the word custodian, I asked him, do I have a title? And he said, yes. I said, as long as it's not janitor. He said, no, we'll call you custodian. I said, well, that sounds a whole lot better than janitor.
That's right.
So anyway, the girl I was dating at the time, which became my first wife, she was a student at the school. That's where we met. And she lived in Concord where the school was. I lived in Kannapolis. It's about 30 miles apart. And so to come in on Saturdays, I had to clean the toilets and the floors and all that stuff. I had to drive down from Kannapolis. And then after I did all my dirty work, I had to drive back home to get hosed off and cleaned up. And then I had to come back to get her in Concord and for us to go to movie, dinner, or whatever we did. And so... It didn't take me long to figure out I need to clean up so I don't have to make this extra trip back and forward to save money on gas. And and so that's what I did. And one Saturday I was, and this to me is a God thing. It just, and it sounds a little crazy, but honest promise it happened. After I had cleaned the toilets and the floors and I had finished my job that day, I got myself cleaned up, put on fresh clothes, and was about ready to leave, and I heard the knock at the door. And I remember looking up this long hallway, and it was an all-glass front, and I saw these two cute girls. And I was young at the time, so, so I walked up to the front, and I had my keys. The door was locked, and I unlocked the door, and they saw me, and the first question they asked is, do you work here? And I said, yes, I do. I didn't tell them that I was the custodian. And so make a long story short, I ended up showing them around the school. And the school changed my life. It was all about business. It was something I could focus on. I loved the business part. And I started reading books like Norman Vincent Peale's Power Positive Thinking, Think and Grow Rich, books like that. And to get your mind fertile and thinking positive thoughts and stuff. And so I believed in the school. So, and you know, just dealing with salespeople, I always, when I was trying to recruit people to work for me, you got to believe in it. You got to believe in what we do. And if you don't believe, it won't work. You got to have confidence in it. You got to know it's going. We're helping other human beings and that type thing. So after showing these girls around, I gave them a pitch. And it was my pitch. It wasn't something prepared. I wasn't ready for it, but I delivered. And I told them they had to. They could bring in their money. Or they could put it in the mail. They could fill out the application. I told them how much it costs and everything. Well, that was Saturday.
Just to refresh my memory, George, you're still the a student there.
I'm a student.
As well as the custodian on
Saturdays.
Right,
I'm still a student. Okay. Full-time student. And so these two girls, Monday morning, came back to the school. Walked in the building and went in the reception office, and they said, we're here to see Mr. Shin. And the girl looked at him and said, who? And Mr. Shin said, well, we don't really have a Mr. Shin that works here. Well, yes, you do. I was here Saturday. We brought our applications to enroll because of him. And so the girl got nervous and went into the director's office and said, these girls have their applications, but they're not going to give it to anybody but Mr. Shin. And who is Mr. Shin? And he said, gosh, Saturday, that had to be George. Go get him out of class. I was upstairs in an accounting class, and she came up and got me and told me on the way down, she told me what had happened.
Because they brought their money in, too.
Yeah, they brought their, not only their application fee, they paid, brought the money for the first semester, first quarter of tuition. And so.
So no one's going to turn them away. No, they're going to find George.
Absolutely not. So when I walked in, as soon as I walked in, they were kind of a blind spot. They were, these two girls were sitting in a love seat. And they were facing the director of the school, the president of the school. And so when I walked in, they just, they were talking. They just dropped what they had, jumped up, grabbed me, hugged me. And said, here's our application money and our first quarter tuition. And the guy's eyes, the director's eyes got about that big, you know. Anyway, what happened as a result of that, I got promoted from student custodian to student recruiter.
Wow.
I bet.
And so at that time, the school had four recruiters. Two were full-time trained professional salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
The other two were two retired school teachers mm-hmm. that were doing it part-time. Next start date, I started more students than all four of them combined.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, it was a God
that
thing.
Is a God
it just
thing.
Mm-hmm. God obviously knew that based on all mm-hmm. my mom had taught me and trained
yes.
me, that I could do this job and do it better
yes.
than anybody else. And so,
mm-hmm.
and I think he actually sent these girls there. I just
uh-huh.
feel it was a God thing, and
yes.
and that it just grew from that.
Huh.
Then from there, obviously. The owner of that school had four schools in North Carolina, and he put me in charge of recruiting for all four schools.
Wow.
And we started becoming the largest schools, not just in the Carolinas, but in the country.
Amazing.
And it was just simple, soft
yeah.
sale philosophy
yeah.
that my mom taught me.
Yeah.
Through experience and examples,
mm.
she taught me to use a soft sale approach. You get more accomplished if you do that.
You said something yesterday that really stuck out to me that your mom taught you about getting to the heart first.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Well, she said that in anything you do in trying to reach people, she said that you're always selling yourself.
That's true.
No matter what you do, even
That's
when
right.
you go for a job interview, you're actually selling yourself to this person.
That's right.
So you got to be at your best and be your best.
Yeah.
And she told me about training whenever you work with people and you're trying to sell them something, the way you get to their pocketbook is touch their heart first.
Yeah.
And you got to come across sincere, believable, and people have to like you before they're going to buy from
That's
you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
so we applied this in all our principles. And when I was recruiting and training people to recruit, that's what I always told them. And I said, you know, after you talk to a student about coming to school, what you do is to make sure that they know that you care about them.
Right.
And the way you do that is you tell them, look, the important thing for you is not necessarily coming to our school.
Yeah.
What's important is that you go to school somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that takes away all the barriers when you do something like
Absolutely.
That. And people say, he's interested in me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're communicating. And mom taught me all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied them in these principles. And bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Did it pay off? Yes, it
uh-huh.
did. It did. And it kept giving. It kept coming back.
Yeah.
What I love
yeah.
about this is we think about courage and confidence. A lot of times we can get mistakenly caught up with the intellectual side of talking ourselves into something or rise above it and feel confident. But what I hear from you, George, is what you learned from your mom is sincerely go after a person's heart, that there
That's
is
right.
great strength
Absolutely.
In doing that. And
Absolutely.
You can build almost anything if you can build that,
Absolutely.
That bond.
Mm-hmm.
And know what motivates them.
Yeah.
You
That's
know?
Right.
Yeah.
As a single dad raising three girls, this is something I wish I had. If you're searching for the perfect way to inspire and empower the young girl in your life, look no further than the NIV Kingdom Girls Bible from Zondervan Publishing. With over 400 engaging features, colorful illustrations, and helpful notes, this Bible is perfect for girls ages 8 to 12 as they learn about the strong and faithful women who came before them. This Bible brings stories of women to life and shows how their faith and strength can still inspire girls today. To order or check out a sample, go to NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. That's NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. This Bible has an amazing design and is easy to read. Most importantly, it is a great resource for girls as they grow in their faith and learn about women who have impacted the world. Don't miss out on this opportunity to nurture her spirit and illuminate her path. Find out more, including how to order and see a sample at NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. Every girl deserves a faith-filled adventure. The link is also in today's show notes.
You shared another story.
I love stories.
I'm telling you, I mean, that's why I said I want to change everything because I could just sit around and listen to George all day. Speaking of soft selling, You have a story about going to church and what motivated you to go to church from your mom.
Well, mom was, mom never did press me or push me. She would ask and let me make the decision.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point as I got older and got interested in dating. And, and I think that's when I first started brushing my teeth. She tried to get me to brush them, but when I discovered girls, she didn't have to motivate me anymore.
Yes.
But anyway, to which story was I getting ready to tell?
I got so many. About chicken.
Oh, okay, okay. She was, she would ask me to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't wake me up and demand that I go. She didn't do that. She used, again, a soft sell approach. And so what she did is that one morning I didn't go. And then when I got up, I was expecting to have my fried chicken, my mashed potatoes and gravy, which she always made on Sunday.
Right.
She didn't make it that Sunday.
Huh.
And so I said, well, where's the fried chicken? She said, well, you have to earn it. You didn't go to church.
I like her. Yes.
And I said, well, what you going to eat? She said, I've already eaten. And you were still in bed and that type thing. And so so what I did, next Sunday I went to church so I could get me some fried chicken. And she was really good at that type thing, and you know, even using examples. I told Robert yesterday that one of the stories was that I remember very vividly. We got in an argument. I can't tell you what the argument was or anything, but she made me mad about something, and I got upset, and I just told her, I said, well, I just think I'm gonna run away from home.
Oh.
I shouldn't have told her I was going to run away. I broadcasted it. But anyway, so I walked out the door and left. I went to my buddy's house. And then it started getting late, and I decided I'd go home. When I got home, the doors were locked. I couldn't get in. And I banged on the door. Mom, let me in. And I went around to her bedroom window, beat on the window. Mom, let me in. And she didn't respond or anything. And so I went back around to see if I could trip the lock or something, get in. I could get in the screen, you know, had the little hook on the screen door. I got something and made a hole in it, and I flipped that open, but hoping the door would be open, but it was locked. And so right at the step there, she had a little paper bag. We used to call them pokes. she had a couple sandwiches in it. She had a note. And so she had the porch light on, so I could read the, it was at night, and I could read the note. And it was something on the line, I wish I'd have kept it. Oh,
yeah,
it was so precious.
Right.
But it was something on the line of, I am so sorry you decided to run away from home. And I want you to know I love you dearly. And any time you want to come back, I'll be here for you. I love you. And please be safe. I'll be praying for you.
Wow.
And it was like hitting me in the head. You talking about a lesson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to go back to my friend's house. I slept on their porch that night.
Wow.
And next morning, I went to the house, and the doors were unlocked. And mom was cooking breakfast, which she always did for me. Bacon, eggs, grits, white toast, and butter, and the whole nine yards. And she came over and put the plate in front of me. She kissed me. She said, thank you for coming home. I love you.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Such a beautiful story.
I never threatened to run away
again.
I mean, your mom was serious.
She was smart. She was, you know, and she knew that she was going to teach me a lesson. And she taught me in a soft sell, easy way. She communicated to me.
She wasn't afraid to teach you a lesson,
I think sometimes
single parents can be almost afraid to because they don't want to, I don't want to, you know, my child would be mad at me or this or that, but we're still a parent.
Right, that's right.
There are still lessons to learn. We're the And it's hard when we're doing it on our own. She had lots of courage and strength.
Oh, yeah, she did, tremendously.
Especially when you know, you have a child that has lost a parent to either divorce or death.
Yeah.
Well, my dad died, so.
Right.
Yeah. So, and she never remarried. She concentrated on her little boy.
On her little boy.
We have a tendency to overcompensate sometimes and to try to make our kids happy. What I loved about both of these stories is she showed the sweetness of fried chicken and the weight of your heart in that way, but also the strength of saying you need to count the cost of what you're deciding to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
There are consequences. That is, when you talk about the balance of courage and confidence, I mean, it isn't just about getting your way.
That's right.
It's understanding what motivates people, like fried chicken, maybe.
Yeah.
But also that if you make a decision, you're going to have to deal with the consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. I also remember the story you told me about, the story of your first steak.
Okay.
Oh, I want to hear this. I'm good. Ready.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is another great. I do a lot of speaking, and I use this story a lot because to me it's funny and people get a charge out of it. But the same family that when I ran away from home, I slept on the porch. I was at their house, and I had never, the first steak I had was at a football banquet. I played football. I think I was a junior at the time. Huh. And they had a banquet, and they served steaks.
Wow.
And I never had a steak before my life.
Wow.
And I had to have my buddy show me how to cut it up and everything, which he about butchered it. But anyway, my neighbors, when I was there with my friend, his dad said, George, I got an extra steak. Would you like to have a steak? I said, gosh, I would love to.
Uh-huh.
Well, they took 2 hours before they had dinner, and I was starving, and Mom already had dinner ready, and I should have been at home, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told them I was going to have to go home. I'm going to have to pass on the steak. Mom's already got dinner ready.
Right.
And so, and I even recalled the dad telling me, well, you going to go home and eat pinto beans?
Oh.
Don't you want to stay here and have a steak? And he was joking. He was kidding about it. But, you know, it kind of hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got home, guess what we had to eat? Hamburgers.
Right.
And so it started a conversation, and I talked to my mom. I said, Mom, I have to come here and eat hamburgers. And I could have stayed over at the Torrances and had a steak.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, son, you don't need to pull down our neighbors just because they can't afford to have their meat ground up. Now, you're talking about a strong woman. Now, that was, and you know, for a year and a half, I believed that. I thought it cost a lot of money to have the meat ground up. I didn't realize. And but isn't that powerful? It was so just
the power of perspective.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
I love that.
And so it's just, you know, all of it is just tied behind a loving mom that wanted me to do something with my life. Mm. And that she was using every technique she could without harming me to try to help me, even though it was some of it was strong, like when she didn't let me in the house the night I ran away from home. She wouldn't let me back in. Uh-huh. And so it just majorly taught me strong lessons that helped me in my in my career.
Can I ask? Like, I have two kids. They're 21 and 18. I love that they love me, and they do. We were on our own for a long time. And they're good kids. I love them. I'm proud of them. They're still figuring out life and stuff, and they will. And I pray for them. But what – I know we talked about your mom's strengths, but what was your favorite thing about your mom? Like, what do you just recall the most? Like, did you just – like, what do you just love about her?
Well, I think that even as a kid, you have disputes with friends.
Yep, and for sure.
And it bothers you.
Yes.
And but she was always so loving. Yeah. She would listen.
Mm. Mm.
She would listen to me when I talked to her.
Yes.
She would listen.
Yeah.
And she'd let me get it all out.
Mm.
And then she would remind me of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And that you can overcome. You just got to be strong and rise above all this stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And someday when you do that, these people won't look down on you as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're better than what they say you are, and you got to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some things she told me that I use in some of my speeches, and that and it really got a point across to me. And I was an adult at the time, and I was struggling. And I don't even remember what the struggling was about, but I can remember what she told me. She said, "What you got to be proud to be who you are."
Mm.
That you got, and you know why? And, you know, at the time, I was just listening to her. She said, because you're special.
Mm.
You are special. And she said, think about this. Mm. Since the beginning of time, there has never been another you.
How true.
You have, your fingerprints are the only fingerprints ever have been or ever will be.
Yes.
And everything about you is unique.
Yeah.
And God knows everything about you. He knows every hair on your head. And so you got to be confident in yourself. You got to realize that I am special.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to believe it.
Yeah.
And then if you, and then as you start, you know, she even talked to me about in my career, and you mentioned something that a lot of people, when I'm introduced to speak, they say the same thing you do, you did, which I want to correct you. You said that
please.
I was a self-made man. No such thing. No
well
such
said.
Thing.
Right.
Everybody succeeds with the help of others.
That's right.
And particularly with the guidance of God.
That's, amen.
That is my beliefs, and that there are people in my life that when I stumbled, they lifted me up. And you know, and I'm a person of faith, and if I'm going into a business venture or anything, I pray about it.
Yes.
And ask God to guide me. And that, and He has. It's just been, I mean, Robert is, I mentioned you, and best way I can describe the whole situation is crazy.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't, you know, like I said, I thought I was a smart dude, but I realized that God sent those two girls to the school that
That's
day,
right.
That He was working behind the scenes to help me because I was doing everything I could. I was cleaning toilets. I was, I was doing my work, trying to better myself, and God was helping me out. And He'll do that if you believe, and if you
so true.
And again, this comes from a single mom that loved her little boy and was trying to coach me, and she did an incredible job.
Absolutely. And I hear that in everything that you say, George, after our conversation yesterday and even today. It's so remarkable to me that, you know, God, we forget as parents sometimes that God's interest is just as strong for our kids, stronger
for
our kids than ours are for our kids. And that He has a roadmap plan for them.
That's right.
And if there's anything that we can instill in them regarding confidence or courage, it has to do with Him. And what's apparent to me from everything that you said, George, is that your mom was just obedient. And deliberate. She didn't have all the secrets mapped out, but she did these little things step by step that created these characteristics with God as the anchor to everything. I think we live in a society that wants the quick fix. Like, how do you do this and how do you do that? But it's just this steady, long, patient, graceful walk with our kids. And knowing that our confidence as parents has to be in God.
Yes.
That's right.
That he's got this mapped out. Yes. And we just take the steps that we can and be deliberate about telling George there's no chicken if you don't go
that's
to church.
Right. That's right.
And
that's
locking right. George out of the house.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Those
yeah.
are those little things. Yeah, but yeah. you're now, I mean, all these things that you've accomplished, like that are yeah. major, like owning an NBA team and all these businesses and just all the influence and everything. But you remember being locked out of the house, and you remember yeah. fried chicken. You remember, right. as parents, we need to know that these are fundamental and important lessons that we're preaching into mm-hmm. our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think you're such a good example mm-hmm. of being faithful in that. And mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you one other little thing. I know I didn't mention to you yesterday, but it was Mom would. I grew up in a very small house. It mm-hmm. had two bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And my bedroom was on one side. Mom's bedroom was on the other side. And we had a floor furnace in yes. between. And Mom would, a lot of times when I was going to bed, I'd see her on her knees praying mm. at the bed.
Mm. Mm.
And I remember one night it was really cold. And she wouldn't let me turn the thermostat up above 60 at night. No matter how cold it was, and of course right. that would make it 30 or 40 in right. my house.
Yeah.
Particularly a house that wasn't built real good. And so, but I remember seeing her praying one night, and it was freezing cold. It was cold in the house.
Mm.
And so as I walked by, I could hear her talking to God, and I waited till she paused, and I said, Mom, why don't you just get in bed, cover up, and you're freezing out uh-huh. here. And she said, no, I can't do that. If I get in bed, I got a lot of talking I got to do with God,
mm.
got a lot of things I'm praying about, and I just, if I get in bed, I might fall asleep.
Mm.
I'll get warm, I fall asleep, I'm going to stay right here till I'm done. You know, that again was just an incredible message yeah. to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, get on your knees.
Get on your knees.
Because she didn't just...
yeah.
Talk to talk, she walked to walk.
Yeah. Yes.
She and didn't know you were going to be watching
that
night.
No, she had no clue.
Like it's wasn't
she had
show.
No clue, but she got an opportunity to hit me yeah. in the head with something I need to be hit in the head with.
I really like her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was yeah. great, great. Yeah.
yeah. She sounds like an incredible woman.
Well, this has been amazing, George. Thank you for sharing. I know that I got something out of this, just our conversation yesterday and today, and I know that single moms and dads listening that are looking for this way to build confidence and courage into their kids will get something out of these really simple, but powerful,
yeah,
powerful totally. Stories.
Yeah.
In closing, yeah. if you were to sit across from a single mom mm. right now, if you were to sit across from your mom
mm.
and knowing what you know now
mm.
and amassing whatever influence and success that you've had, and seeing her desperate cries,
mm.
if you're sitting across from her or another single mom, how would you want to encourage her?
Mm.
Well, I would want to thank my mom for what yeah. she gave me and,
yeah.
and the faith that she planted in my head.
Yes.
And that Jesus is the way and yeah. the only way.
Yeah. Mm.
And but if I was talking to another single parent, I'd just say, hey, look, I'm a perfect example of what can happen with a parent, a single parent, that loves the Lord
mm.
and that loves me.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that I would just say, just do love on your child, but use good judgment.
Yes, yeah. right.
Make right decisions. Don't just give them everything they want.
Yeah.
Use better judgment and it'll pay off for you. Just believe and you will achieve.
Mm.
Amen.
I love that.
George, thank you for spending time with us today. It's
my
been an
pleasure.
Honor.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Kim, I love hearing people's stories.
I do too. And he was so great to listen to.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously, could have listened to 1,000 more.
When you think of people that have like reached the pinnacle of success like he has, you don't think of him as being so comfortable in a living room setting, which—
And down to earth. And,
right.
Yeah.
We're sitting across from each other in these really comfy chairs, microphones, and I felt like we could have kept going forever.
Yeah.
It was just so insightful. But
yeah,
so much wisdom that his mom imparted, and you can tell— that even though he's had incredible experiences in life and challenges in life, it all goes back to this truth that he was set up correctly by a mom that just was deliberate about what she did.
I know.
And everything from, you know, being consistent with when he runs away, locking the doors.
I know. What a lesson.
To encouraging him to join church with fried chicken.
Listen, whatever works.
Whatever works. The point is that what I got out of it, she was consistent and deliberate. And it was the small things. And she taught him by saying, you know, the way, not to the pocketbook, but the way to influence someone is to get to their heart.
Heart
first. And then she modeled what it looked like by sitting on the cold floor.
Yeah.
Not out of trying to show George what it looked like, but she was kneeling and talking to God.
Yes.
You can tell that he carried all that forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just we get the privilege of looking at this person when they're talking to us, right?
Yeah.
And just watching him talk about his mama. You know, he's not a young man.
Yeah.
But his memories are still very vivid.
Yeah.
And I just love, I mean, what he knows and remembers the most is that she was a woman that loved Jesus and loved him.
And everything came back to
that. And everything came back to that. And so mamas, because I'm a mama, dads too, but ladies, let me tell you right now, we got to love Jesus and be prayer warriors and love our kids.
Fiercely.
And Jesus first.
Yeah.
Like, we just need to be on our knees. That it is the greatest. Mothering, parenting is such a high calling. It is not for the faint of heart. Man, we need Jesus. We need Jesus more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, so let's just make sure that is the first thing ever.
You know, we talk about a lot of things on this podcast that we wrestle with, whether it be psychological or physical, emotion, and I'm glad we do, because it's a very complex life. But at the end of the day, it comes back to we are created by a creator, and we are saved by someone that loved us enough to send something most precious to him to save us so we could be with him. And it all comes back to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, we can say that 52 weeks a year.
I know.
It's important that we explore all these other things, but man, it's so evident when hearing stories like this, is you're right, comes back to, is it the pursuit of Jesus that's authentic and real?
Listen, I don't know where I'd be without Jesus.
Yeah.
And I look back sometimes and I remember my single mama days and I'm like, God, I no book would have gotten me through some of those days.
Yeah.
Only Jesus could have gotten me through those days. Like, just seriously.
It's
and
real.
He has never, ever failed. And he promises that he will always be with us and he will not forsake us.
Absolutely.
And you can hold on to that promise very truly and deeply.
Absolutely. So all this week in our groups around the country and online, we are going to be talking about this topic and reflecting on how we can build courage and confidence into our kids. I hope you'll join us. They happen 7 days a week. If you download our app, you can have instant access to any group any day of the week. Most of the days of the week, there's two groups a day. But we want you to join us. It's not weird. It's totally, you'll feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And we hear all the time, I was so scared. I didn't want to get in. And I get it. I totally get it. It's a weird experience, but you will be glad you do.
Yeah.
So please join us. Download our app where you'll have access to all that and so much more.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you with us.
Yes, it's so good. And we're just so glad that you're here and that you're listening and just part of this family, our fam jam, and our wonderful community that we get to even just do life together and love on each other is just so amazing. If you haven't done so already, maybe you have because you're listening, do subscribe to the podcast on Access More. We love Access More. There's a crazy load of great podcasts on Access More. So much love and truth and hope and wisdom through all kinds of podcasts there. But maybe you get your podcast some results, and that's okay too. But wherever you get it, would you please rate our show? What it does is it just helps someone else who's on this same journey find this community and find the the truth and hope and love of Jesus that we get to share.
Well, we don't know how all that works, but we do know that it does work. When you rate our show, it puts us at the top of lists of searches. And so we want to reach as many people as we can. And leave us a comment on social media. Just look up Solo Parent Society on, let's see, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We'd love to see you there.
That's all we're going to do.
That's all we're going to do. Okay, we're going to leave our time with our guiding verse that we talk about every single week. And it is this one, Isaiah 41:10. This is the anchor that we hold on to at Solo Parent. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you here again next week.